Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
What's up? Welcome in after almost a four-hour-long baseball game. We're up late tonight, guys. I will regret this in the morning, but I'm glad that you are here. Welcome into the show. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. A few things to get to tonight. I've got some cuts from Pete Golding's press conference. Good stuff. Again, they're winding down spring practice. A couple of things stood out to me the most. Talked about having his players focused, like being focused on the right things this offseason as they've turned into a program that people aren't going to overlook. He made reference to, you know, in the past, there have been Ole Miss teams that have not gotten their opponent's best effort simply because they weren't the most talented or most difficult team on the schedule. That's going to change now. And he says at one point, and I'll play it for you, you better be focused on Louisville. That's what you need to have your attention on right now. Good stuff there. Also talked about Edwin Joseph, Tony Mitchell's position change, it sounded like, and more. So we'll get to that. And also, I assume you guys are going to have some thoughts on the Governor's Cup. Ole Miss falls to Mississippi State, and we'll get to that as well. Probably going to be an abbreviated version again because simply it's so late. Hope you guys enjoyed my conversation with Chris Malloy. That program is just a wagon right now. Ole Miss golf winning the SEC. They have the right stuff, if you will, to go win a national championship. They've got the bones. They've got the infrastructure, the foundation, whatever you want to call it, to go win a championship. So keep a close eye on them. It was a lot of fun to watch that a year ago, and hopefully they can make a similar type of run in the NCAA tournament. But we're talking football, we're talking baseball, and I am glad that you guys are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube, leave a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. I would really appreciate that. This edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, Mississippi. They've got everything that you need under one gigantic roof for farm, lawn, and garden, but quite literally. I mean, anything from animal feed to home furnishings, appliances, great clothes, boot selections, awesome. The fishing selection is awesome. The cheapest beer in town. And most importantly, the John Deere lawnmower or tractor that you need. You've got just a few more days. April 30th is what these offers are valid through. 0% on 36 months for all commercial lawnmowers, all John Deere, 0%, 36 months, 1.9% for 36 months on John Deere Gators. And for the big stuff, 0% on 72 months, 472 months on compact tractors and select 5 series tractors, valid through the 30th. Do not wait. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. All right, here is, I've got 5 cuts for you from Pete Golding in his press conference. Really good stuff here from the head coach. Couple of kind of long ones, but that's okay because it's really thoughtful stuff. He was asked about offensive tackles after the arrest of Kern, although the legal matter has been cleared up. We'll see what kind of punishment comes with that. Also, you just hope that this could be a wake-up call for the young man. Maybe you get veteran guys that have been in the NFL like Moncrief, Terrence Metcalf, that are right there in the building to sit him down and say, hey, dude, you have a talent ceiling that is so incredibly high, but if you keep doing stuff like that, you're not going to realize your potential, that kind of stuff. You hope it's a wake-up call. But he was asked about the offensive line. They battled some injuries at tackle through spring practice. Here's what he had to say.
Finally, that tackle spot on offense, what have you seen as far as growth and development? And do you like where it is, or does it need to work? I mean, what are you looking at with it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think it continues to need work for sure, but I think Garrison's done a good job. We've looked at a lot of different spots. You know, I think spring's not one to where, hey, we're actually playing in the game, and who would you move if this was the scenario based on injuries and everything else right now? But I think the new guys, Enoch and Tommy and all those guys, are doing a good job. Like I said last week, they flashed, right, to where they could play winning football in the SEC. It's just doing it on a more consistent basis. And then I think Therese has had a really solid spring, you know, and that's why we brought him back. And he's got to continue to develop and from a leadership standpoint, bring those guys with him. And, you know, obviously Emmanuel's still young, right, but you're seeing flashes from him. He's got a lot of ability. So it's been musical chairs as far as rotating them, trying to make sure all of them are versus, you know, good talent. And I think that's the big thing. Sometimes you get stuck in rotations and they're not playing against the same guys. You know, Garrison and them have done a really good job of rotating those guys in, whether it be at the ones or the twos. So definitely flashed. But, yeah, obviously it's a concern, like a lot of spots for us, that we got to get consistently better in doing our job on a more consistent basis.
So, yeah, a lot there. Even the head coach used the phrase concern. So I think we are pretty justified here doing the same thing. Doesn't mean that they won't be good. There's a lot of potential there in that room, just such a lack of experience. And they got some time to figure that out. And also, as we've talked about before, you've got a running back that's great in pass protection, a quarterback that is really good and elusive in the pocket, and a system that gets the ball out quickly. So that is the position I'm most concerned about with this team going into 2026, but at least you've got all of that to help it out. All right, wide receivers, again, was a topic of conversation. Here is his latest thoughts on his wide receiver room.
I think if you look at the history of this place, at least in my opinion, I mean, that's been done every year, right? I mean, the guy that just went 33rd overall, I'm pretty confident, wasn't here the year before. So, I mean, I think that's pretty common, right, everywhere now. So we talked about it before. Obviously, you know, we had a lot of production that we knew had left. So, number one, you want to bring in talent enough guys that can do that. I think you want to balance it, right, and make sure you're not bringing all the same type of guy, right, so then now you can have different roles for him and different packages to create issues for defenses, which I think we've done. So, you know, the experience that we brought in I think has gotten better, you know, day in and day out. And those guys came here to step into a role. They didn't want to come to be a backup. You know, they weren't promised in the recruiting process. They know they got to come in and earn it and develop and all those. But, you know, we wouldn't have invested the way we did if we didn't feel like we were going to get a return on our investment. So a lot of those guys have had a good spring and are going to have a good fall.
Pete.
Yeah, and again, it's a group of receivers that certainly has a high floor, I think. I think their floor is incredibly high. We'll see what their ceiling is. A lot of new faces, as he mentioned. You guys know how I feel about Deuce Alexander right now. There's a lot to love about Daryl Gill. We've talked a lot about Jonte Cook recently. There's a good bit of potential in this receiver room. And so far, all of the conversation out of spring practice has been that they have done a good job at wide receiver. It has to continue to mesh. They have to continue to build relationships with their quarterback. But the context of the beginning of his answer was, you know, losing a lot of guys in this program is just kind of rotating receivers in and out while sending them to the NFL. And that's where that first part of that statement came from. And I mean, there's a real chance they're about to do it again. We shall see. All right. He was asked about, this is just a good quote about, you know, the meet the team day, the autograph day, stuff like that.
No, I mean, I think they've got to realize, and I think some of them do, not all of them do, of, you know, over a 3-year span since I've been here, like, we've lost one home game, right? That's because there's a lot of people in that stadium that have created an environment and an atmosphere that's really hard to play in. And you got to give back to people that give to you, in my opinion. And so I think that's kind of been lost at some places, you know. And I think at the end of the day, like, I mean, we're all a kid deep down inside. Like, they actually enjoy it, right? I mean, And for Trinidad and for all those guys that have lines out of the door, right, and those kids' smiles just for their autograph. Like, you know, so I told them, I was like, man, there's going to be one day and it's going to be sooner than later that ain't nobody going to want your damn autograph, right? So you better enjoy it, right? You better continue to play really well so that line is long. But, no, I thought it was awesome for them to have the opportunity to give back, and especially in that atmosphere in a controlled environment. And everybody was really excited. So, no, I thought it was special for them and for our fans.
That's kind of a funny thing telling the guys, you better soak this in now because one day soon, nobody's going to care about you at all. That's such a ball coach type mentality. But no, you know, there was a lot of people and not everybody, you know, got to get their favorite player's autograph, as we heard from the radio show as well. Actually on that, a lot of people, there's just a crowd that was probably bigger than they anticipated even, but that first part where, you know, you got to give back to the people that give back to you, or you got to give back to the people that give to you, that those kind of talking points and answers, you know, does that make the difference between winning and losing? Not really. I mean, you saw a head coach recently that couldn't have possibly cared less about the fans. Not really. And won a lot of football games. So that doesn't really matter on the actual field. But I do think a buy-in, a visible buy-in where you make the people that really make everything go, which is the fans, if you make them feel like they matter, they are willing to continue to step up in ways that they didn't previously. When you make somebody feel important, they are more willing to do things for you, right? And so hearing your football coach and the players talk about how important you are in this era where there's donor fatigue and all the things that people are talking about, you guys are going to do extraordinary things if you feel like you're extraordinary. And so that messaging coming out of your program now, I think, is extremely valuable, not only because it's the truth. None of them would exist, would have the lifestyles they have or anything without you, the fan. None of them would without you. So that's just truth telling. But also, I think the long-term benefits of that for a program to continue to remind you guys how important you are, you're going to continue to give and step up. And even if it strains, you're willing to strain because the people involved are grateful for your effort. So good stuff there. All right. He was asked about three players in particular, Edwin Joseph, Tony Mitchell, and Jordan Renaud. Banged up, didn't go through spring or were limited through spring. And also a position change, I think, is what I hear here. Tell me what you think. Kind of a long answer, but here you go.
Whatever. Edwin Joseph in the back end, Tony Mitchell with the linebackers. I mean, Renaud, with those guys, what are the status of them? Like, how are they? And specifically about Edwin Joseph, what did you like about him in the portal, and what could he be once he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the experience. I think he's very instinctive. I think he does a really good job in block protection of getting skinny. He does a good job finishing on the ball carrier. And I always felt like that position, I mean, he was a corner, you know, playing nickel. I think the ability to play man-to-man, the kid's got range, he's got top-end speed. So loved his versatility, his athletic ability. And then when you throw on top of the experience component of it, I thought he really had a really high ceiling that fit our system really well. So obviously with Edwin and Jordan, we knew coming in by taking them, they weren't going to be here for the spring. Which I think if the model was the old model and you didn't get them in the summer, that would be a concern. But we knew they were going to be in every meeting, right? They're going to be rehabbing all spring. There would be a good foundation from an understanding standpoint going into June and July. And now it's getting them back into playing shape, you know, over June and July and getting ready for August. I think Tony, you know, obviously we recruited Tony at Alabama out of high school. He's very athletic. Tony kind of grew out of the safety position from a body type standpoint. He's about 240 pounds right now, really athletic. And linebacker comes a lot more natural to Tony than Tony thinks it does. And I think, you know, some of those DB guys, I'm a DB, and you start putting them in the box, like, Coach, what the hell are we doing here? You know, so, but he allows us from some coverage versatility standpoint to kind of use them as a money, right, and rotate coverages away from him, things like that, because we like his coverage ability. But I've been really pleased with his instincts in the box, which is always something that's the concern of a guy that hasn't played that position, because he had put physicality on tape. You know, he could transition and could run, especially for that position now. So I think he's continuing to get, you know, more comfortable. Has really shown up in the four core special teams in the last 10 days, which will be a big piece. But he's definitely going to continue to play himself into a role on defense and be really specific with it to be able to take some of those snaps off of other guys. So excited about all three of those. But with Edwin and Jordan, it'll be a really big summer transition them to the speed of the game. But the benefit is these aren't high school players. They've played in games. They've been starters, right? They played in the SEC. Obviously, Edwin played in the ACC. He's played SEC teams, you know, so that they know what it is. And so there's a good foundation right now of knowing what to do. And then now it's the summer just getting to do it, you know, on a consistent basis.
I must have missed, and forgive me if I did, I must have missed the Tony Mitchell growing out of safety playing linebacker thing. And honestly, that makes a whole lot more sense, signing him to play closer to the line of scrimmage and things like that. So that's interesting. Obviously, talented guy, but just didn't necessarily amount to what they thought that he would be at Mississippi State. I think that's fair to say, but still has a lot of upside physically and athletically. And so him being closer to the line of scrimmage, especially in a position that needs some depth. He mentioned special teams mixed in there as well, so finding a role. And then the other two, he doesn't seem to be worried at all with them missing spring simply because of, as he said, the years of playing college football under their belts and not overly concerned there. All right, last thing, and here's kind of the money quote, and this is at the very end. He's asked about managing expectations, being a program that is now where they stand versus where they were, you know, a decade ago. It's a good answer here.
You know, I think every year that you do well, you know, I think, number one, you're fighting complacency, right, because they read how good they are and they think they've arrived, which they haven't. Right. And then, you know, number two is, I mean, once you get a program and they start winning on a consistent basis, like, you're the game that's circled. Right. So instead of, you know, not getting everybody's best all the time because they overlook you or what have you, they're working on somebody else on your week or before, like, the target's going to be on your back. And so I think, you know, that's happened not just this year. You know, I think we've had good years building up to this year to where I don't think people were really excited to play Ole Miss. You know, I think there was an offseason study and some time in the summer and all those. But, you know, my biggest thing to them is stop focusing on the wrong shit. You know, and we start worrying about the LSU game and everybody's talking about it and all that. You better worry about Louisville, right? And you better worry about what you're doing right now, right, and the development of every day and what you're putting into it. So I think it's all what you put focus on, right, and what you put attention on. But we're not circling a game for us, because we do feel like we're talented enough that if we do it the right way and prepare the right way and practice the right way, that if we don't beat ourselves, we'll have a shot. But like I said before, I think more games are lost than they are won. And that's the biggest thing where we're getting to right now, is you don't know what play in a game is going to affect the outcome of the game. You can't pick and choose when you want to lock in and focus and do your job. That's got to be who we are. And there's going to be some games that you might line up and they might be more talented than you. And we're going to have to make more plays than they make, you know, and the ball might have to bounce our way. That's football. Right, but let's not beat ourselves by playing bad football, or let's not beat ourselves by not being prepared or not taking care of our body or not practicing the right way. And I think that mentality, once you get to that, you don't care who you're playing, where you're playing, when you're playing, I think that's your best chance. And so I think we got a lot of guys that do believe that, right? And you see that day in and day out. I don't think we have enough guys, and that's what we're talking about, playing winning football and getting enough guys in that category of playing winning football in this league on a consistent basis. I think you've got to get to that in order to compete for a championship on a consistent basis. So I think it was a good start, but we're definitely not where we need to be.
So there's so much to like about that. I mean, these guys think they have arrived. They have not. And it's, again, really nice. This doesn't translate to wins on the field necessarily, but when you have this kind of attitude about your program, complacency can be a very dangerous thing. And for Pete Golding, after a 13-win season in which they won the semi, they went to the semifinal, to stand there and say, you haven't won anything yet. Forget my language. You haven't won shit yet. You've won nothing. You haven't arrived. What banner do you hang for making the semifinal? Maybe they do in the stadium. I don't know. But the head coach is not going to approve of that. You haven't won anything. You didn't win a championship last year. Nice. You won a bowl game. Great. Congratulations. I love that because that shows that you have a person leading your program that truly believes, at least it sounds like it, that your program is bigger than what you did last season, that you can not only do that consistently, but you can take it to another level. And this isn't even talking about Lane Kiffin. There have been coaches in the past at Ole Miss that have not believed that you can win at the highest level at Ole Miss. And so hearing the messaging from your coach that, yeah, you haven't won anything, so you better focus on Louisville, because if you think you can overlook them, you're going to get beat. You can't circle a single game on your schedule because you're the circled on your schedule now. But if you think that means you've arrived, you have not. I love that. Because, again, complacency can be problematic. And you've seen in the past, not in the too terribly distant past, a coach win some games and then get complacent. And then 2 years later, he's getting fired. Complacency is a very dangerous thing. And so not allowing a historic season to be all you talk about, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. All right, we will get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Anywhere in Mississippi for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, he will take care of you. Give him a call, 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500, Logan Smith and Shelter Insurance. Tell him that it was me that sent you there. And even if you already have insurance, what's a 5-minute phone call going to hurt? It's not going to hurt at all. Go give him a call, get a quote. You'll love the services that he provides. Great insurance as well. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. Also, Priority One Bank, to make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, 16 locations in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision making, and more. Bank with me at Priority One Bank, and also Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com. In all seriousness, did many people really expect them to win that game? Missing Foley and Federico, plus, let's be real here, State just owns them. Yeah, I picked against Ole Miss on the radio show today, in part because they were shorthanded. You know, this game doesn't kill them. It doesn't move them out of a host site or anything like that. But you got to go. I mean, now it feels like you got to go to Fayetteville and get two this weekend. I know it's on the road. It's always tough to win on the road, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's what tonight created. But there is that side conversation where, like, on one hand, this loss doesn't kill you. Both of the projections came out today. Ole Miss was firmly hosting a neutral site loss against a top 15 RPI team is not going to knock you out of that. But Mississippi State owns Ole Miss as of late over the last 10 years. It's just complete dominance in this rivalry, and it's disproportionate relative to the talent. It's not like Mississippi State is that much more talented than Ole Miss is over the last 10 years. They just beat Ole Miss. It's what they do. Coaches change, doesn't matter. In Oxford, in Starkville, doesn't matter. They own Ole Miss lately. And that's a side conversation to have, but it's just reality. There's no debate. There's really no conversation to have. It's just, this is the truth as it exists right now. Why is that? I don't know, but we certainly know that it's a thing. And tonight was another example of that. Is Realtree doing another helmet this year? And any news on field sponsorships? No news on field sponsorships. It's a difficult sell because it's very expensive. And most, if not all, of the sold fields that you've seen are a company with local interest. Problem is, in Mississippi, you've got two SEC schools that are like equally represented in the state. So if C Spire wanted to buy just Fought Hemingway, they would piss off all the state fans. Whereas in Tennessee, you can buy the field and not really have to worry about it. I know Vanderbilt's there, but you guys know what I mean. Arkansas, Tyson can buy the field and nobody cares because the overwhelming majority of the state is Arkansas fans. So if you're going to find an in-state company, you probably need to do both, but that's really expensive. And also, to be honest with you, one of them probably costs more than the other. And I don't know if state would agree to a contract that allowed Ole Miss to get more. And I don't think Ole Miss would come down on their number because, I mean, just statistically, more people watch Ole Miss games. The value of the sponsorship on the field, this is an objective fact. I know that there are state fans that listen to this that'll probably go post this on their message board. I'm sorry that I'm telling you an objective fact here. More people lately watch Ole Miss than Mississippi State. More people will watch Ole Miss this season than Mississippi State. And the advertisement on the field is more valuable if more people are going to see it. So that's the difficulty. I believe Missouri is the Realtree game this year. Saw a little of the start of the broadcast. My gosh, it's so embarrassing. I'm completely out on the Pearl game. It's got to stop. Yeah, I guess there were some transmission issues is what they were going with. I thought the broadcasters did a fine job. Like the guys calling the game, they put on a good broadcast. And I mean, the video feed after they fixed it was certainly better than no video feed at all. Crowd was not good tonight. I mean, with all due respect, you post that the game was sold out. And I'm sorry, that's not a sellout. That game is, sorry, the camera's not focusing. That game's not, that's not a sellout. That's not a sellout. I mean, the crowd was okay, but the crowds are not good anymore compared to what they were when I first moved here. I thought ticket prices were incredibly too high. I know there's a lot of people that are invested in the Mud Monsters and the ballpark that are trying and they're making improvements and they're really trying to make that a viable thing. And I hope it works. I really do. I'm rooting for them. I am. But I talked to somebody that was at the game tonight and they shared your sentiment. They were just like, why are we doing this? Was a text that he sent me. And that's tough. That's tough to hear from fans when they go to these games and they pay overpriced tickets for it. And that's not weather either. Those pictures that I showed you, that's not weather. Weather didn't deter that many people from a sold out game to that. People aren't as interested. Prices are too high. It's kind of a pain. They've got concessions issues and stuff. I don't know if they can handle that many people. Imagine if they actually truly had a butt in every single seat. You have issues with the video feeds for the Southern Miss Ole Miss game earlier this year. You didn't have one at all. I want those games to continue. And I'm rooting for the people that are trying to make that ballpark better. And they're doing a good job. They're trying. It was lost when they got a hold of it. I mean, lost when they got a hold of it. And they're trying to make it better. I do wonder, though. And then, like, the furnace thing, I mean, there's probably some internal dialogue at the two schools wondering if there's a different approach to the game moving forward. Louisville's not going to be a pushover. Glad Pete is not overlooking them. Trap games are going to be Auburn and Florida. Florida for sure. That's a horrible spot on the schedule. I am on record. I think Arkansas is going to be stinky. Arkansas. Well, them too. I think Auburn's going to be like bad, like towards the bottom, if not at the bottom of the SEC bad this year. They need to be healthier for Arkansas if they can be. Take 2 of 3 there, and they're in business. Lose 2 of 3, and things get back to being more testy, particularly if the offensive regression continues. Side topic, but I'm sure it was brought up on the radio show. Can you talk about Brennan Sorsby? Absolutely. Yeah, we did talk about it some. And this might not be a popular opinion, especially with the podcast audience. So the podcast audience skews a little bit younger than the radio audience, I think. The radio audience almost universally agreed with this. But I've just changed my mind on what I think should be appropriate when it comes to sports gambling. And this does not absolve Sorsby from personal responsibility. It is his fault that he did this. It's entirely something that he chose to do when he knew he wasn't allowed, and he chose to do it at an incredibly high volume. Clearly, he has an issue when he's in a ballpark betting on balls and strikes in real time. Thousands of bets is what's being reported. He's got a problem. And I hope he gets better, because gambling is highly addictive. But I think that Mississippi's law on it is probably the best approach to it. I think it should be legal, just like I think alcohol should be legal. But I think that restrictions are okay. You cannot drink until you're 21. You cannot drink a certain amount and drive a car, etc. In Mississippi, as you guys know, and I know there's workarounds and VPNs and stuff like that, but you cannot, in Mississippi, use DraftKings because you have to be in a terrestrial casino in order to wager on sports. We have a sportsbook partner on our radio show, but I think that that is the ease of access to sports gambling and the volume of things you can bet on, player props, balls and strikes, all that stuff. It's too easy, and it is everywhere. ESPN has a betting platform. The organization that broke the story has a betting partner. When you watch golf, I was watching the Zurich on Sunday. We got back and watched the very end. We left early. We weren't going to stay out there all day for 2 days in a row. You get back and you put it on, and here's FanDuel's odds of who's going to win standing on the 17th tee. Andy and Ari, who I like a ton, I mean a ton, and I respect them a lot, but they do a podcast talking about Sorsby and gambling, and the first thing you hear is a gambling ad. It is every commercial break. It is everywhere. And in some states, if your 16-year-old has a phone that and access to your credit card, they can download 8 different apps or whatever, and they're betting. I saw somebody say that his teenage son was having a sleepover, and they were all on their phones. They're all sports betting. The ease of access to it, I think, is creating a gigantic problem amongst the young people that is slowly going to start manifesting. We're creating teenaged, high school-aged gambling addicts because it is everywhere. You can't escape it. And you can just, boop, download an app, boom, on your phone, and you're gambling on sports. And the euphoria, the high that you get from winning sports bets is as addictive as drugs or alcohol. And so no wonder you've got a young person that has a gambling issue, because a lot of them, too many of them, have a gambling issue. And I think it's rotting our brains when it comes to the way we view sports and the way we consume sports. And I think that we've gone too far and we should dial it back. I know that's not a popular opinion with young people, but I think that you're seeing the problem with it and how prevalent it is. You can't escape it. It's everywhere. And I think that's creating an issue that probably needs to be addressed. Need to hear your thoughts on if any Big 12 team doesn't qualify for the playoffs, do you think that can make extra room for an SEC team? In baseball, Kansas is definitely going to make the postseason, so there's at least one. Also, the basketball tournament's officially expanding to 76. Woohoo. Yeah, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. And this is what frustrates me, too, about the people that want, like, Congress to pass the SCORE Act, and even if they did, I mean, the Supreme Court would probably shut it down anyway. But when you advocate for congressional intervention, you're going to continue to put enforcement in the NCAA's hands. And after seeing this today, this bothered me so much. Just you already have too many teams that make it anyway, but you have a perfect situation. 64 was perfect. You have this perfect bracket that's easy to understand. It still means something if you make the tournament. Selection Sunday matters. It was just so easy to consume and understand, and it was special, and people loved it. And you're destroying it by adding teams, none of which belong in the tournament at all. Auburn would have made it. They had no business making the postseason. Indiana had no business making the postseason, but they would have. Have you seen some of the models that have come out about the possible, the way they would add the teams and the way that the first games would look? It's horrendous. It's awful. And teams that don't deserve it would make it. And that organization that is making that decision, despite nobody wanting it, you want to continue to be in charge of enforcement and creation of rules. We cannot continue in major college athletics, and we cannot save, air quotes, major college athletics until we have a complete change of power at the highest level of college sports. If they want to do tennis and golf and stuff, that's fine. Whatever. They can do that. They can't do football and men's basketball anymore. We can't have a serious conversation about saving college sports if that organization is going to still be in charge. It's that simple. We cannot continue this way. And nothing will change about the incompetency of leadership in college sports as long as the NCAA is the one in charge. Today's another example of that. Something nobody wants, something nobody likes, something nobody agrees with that they won't be able to handle is going to get pushed through for what? Horrible. Sports gambling has been one of the most harmful things to the nature of the sport, particularly how it targets young men, but Sorsby also should have known better. Well said. They just own us in baseball, but I'll take the trade baseball, football any day of the week. You know, you don't have to necessarily make that trade, but I hear you. Will the NCAA actually enforce this, or may it end up in court because Texas Tech is going to fight for their $5+ million quarterback to play? This is one of those things where I think would be a loser in court. I really do. This is something that the NCAA can enforce and actually would hold up. And most people would agree with the enforcement of that. The difference between head football coach now and the one they had is that it seems like the one they have now is truly appreciative of the opportunity he has, and it's refreshing, win or lose, but still win. Yeah, exactly. Great press conferences only matter if you win on the field too, but they are. I mean, there is a level of appreciation for who he works for that I think is genuine. So anxious, and God forbid Ole Miss doesn't execute and perform. I mean, they were playing at a super high level last year. That game in Athens, the 5 touchdown drives, everything will be business as usual. Praying everything will be business as usual. I hear you. Think the fans blow the losing to State thing out of proportion, although I understand it. Baseball, to me, just feels more like each week is equal, and getting to a host record holds all importance. I mean, that's like that way in all sports, though. If you go 11-1 and lose to State and make the playoffs and they don't, who cares if you lost to them, you know? But it's just pure ownership. It is just pure ownership. But I agree with you here, though. I think that now with this loss, that you got to get to 16 now, I think. Just a little prediction now. Do you think Ole Miss still gets to a host, Mark? I don't. I don't right now. I would love to be wrong for obvious reasons. I don't right now think that they will. Don't think about it now, but once the Louisville game gets closer, the hype for that all by itself in Nashville will be a lot of fun. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. In football, primarily since Kiffin got to Ole Miss, they have been... I say I can't wait because I'm planning on going to Nashville, which Nationals fun. The game is compelling. And I think you guys are going to travel well, so the environment's going to – like, it's just one of those things where sometimes the neutral site games can feel a little empty. And not like in the stands. They generally are attended well. But, I mean, there's not a lot of character to them. I think this one's going to have a lot of character. Louisville's very close to Nashville. They're going to travel well, too. But there's going to be a ton of you there. Like you said, the game's on its own. I think Louisville has a chance to be ranked in the preseason as well. So a ranked matchup. I mean, vibes are high among the Ole Miss fan base. It'll just be like a high energy, like really fun trip. Very similar to the New Orleans trips. Mississippi State is more talented, but not a 4-0 record edge with all three of the or with all three of those four games being easy wins. Yeah. Ole Miss fans in particular sparsely go to that game. More State fans for sure, but it's half empty. And I mean, maybe they did scan 8,200 tickets, but no. You guys saw the empty seats down both first base and third base line. And my first Governor's Cup after I moved here, there were no seats. The berm was so crowded. You didn't know it was a berm. It looked like stands. There was just so many people. That has changed rather dramatically, and that there's a lot of ways that they can fix it. I think more reasonable ticket prices would be a good start. The ballpark still needs work. Again, they're working on it. They're making effort, but the ballpark still needs work in order for that to – I mean, again, I've talked to people that went tonight, and they didn't enjoy the experience of being at the ballpark, and that's not acceptable. Why is the crowd so different in Biloxi when State or Ole Miss play – different than Pearl? I think all of those things I just said are the main factors. I mean, the ballpark in Biloxi is nicer. People on the coast are less likely to make the trips to Oxford and Starkville, so it's more exciting. You know, when State's in Biloxi, the State fans that live there don't get to travel as much. It's just more difficult to travel, probably. But I do think over the years, the Braves especially let the ballpark go. And ticket prices are too expensive. And people are going to look at a Tuesday night and think, I'm just going to stay home. I looked at the ticket website, and it was $35 to sit on the berm. If you have a family of four, I'm not a math guy, but that's $120 to sit on the grass beyond center field. I just can't imagine that is a thing that most people want to do, you know? So it's a shame, but I think they need to kind of look in the mirror on what it would take to go to the games for normal people. You can go to bed, going to watch back in the morning. Ah, I appreciate you, Zach, but I'm already up. I am going to hang up on you guys soon, though. Very deflating basketball transfer class. I mean, they need a handful of guys to take big steps. I mean, Patton Pinkins needs to take a big step. Comerdine needs to take a big step. I mean, those guys are just going to have to really grow. And, I mean, they're going to have to nail these evaluations. But, yeah, portal class looking a little light at the moment. But we'll see. We will see. Say it's also objectively annoying to see a Hard Rock Bet or FanDuel every 5 minutes on hockey, NBA, football. Like, why? Not to mention there's a FanDuel network now with announcers and everything. Exactly.
they finished 15-15. We'll have the same conversation as last season, having to go to Hoover and win some games to host.
Yeah, probably so.
Probably so. It's got to be a bad experience in Pearl if they either team can get legit sellouts at MGM compared to Pearl, the proximity of both schools. Yeah, and I mean, I do wonder if Ole Miss considers going to Biloxi as opposed to Pearl. I wonder. I hope not. I live in this area. And again, I'm being repetitive. I am repetitive. So, you know, sorry. It's just who I am at this point. I try to fix it, but I want the game to stay in this area. I know that there are people that are working hard on trying to make that ballpark viable and make the Mud Monsters viable. And I don't blame the guys that were calling the game. It's not their fault that the feed was messed up, but I mean, you start the game and look at what the video feed was, and you've got an all turf infield now, and fans are waiting multiple innings through concession lines, and you're charging $30 to go sit on the grass in the outfield and stuff like that. It's just, there are still a lot of things that they need to fix if they want this game to continue. Because I don't think all of those problems exist if you play this game on the coast. There's an idea that was brought up today that the Governor's Cup gets played. So you've got, like this year, the series was in Oxford. Play the Governor's Cup game in Starkville. And so next year, the series would be in Starkville, play the Governor's Cup game in Oxford. That's an interesting idea. But again, the people that live in this area, I think, you know, it's good that they get the chance to see their team play. But they're not going to see the teams play. Again, I will show these pictures. I don't care what they announce in terms of sellout. This is not weather. This is the bottom of the sixth inning on when it ended up being a great night. That's not weather. You know what I mean? So there's a reason people aren't showing up. And by the way, it's not lack of interest. That's the last thing, and I'll end there. It's not lack of interest. You guys love baseball. State fans love baseball. They have never been in more love with baseball than they are right now. And that's what you got. So, anyway, I appreciate you guys as always for being here. We'll be back on Thursday night as we always are, and don't forget to subscribe and all that good stuff. If you missed my interview with Chris Malloy, go check it out. SEC champion Chris Malloy, good stuff there. I'll see you guys on Thursday. Y'all have a good rest of your night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.